Hey, this is Jeremy. Just wanted to hop on before the episode started with a few announcements. We really want to hear from you, and perhaps the best way to do that, we actually have a subreddit now. It's just r/polyphonicpress, and I'll leave a link to it in the show notes. But it's always been my dream to have a community where we can all get together and talk about the albums that we review and just music in general. So if you want to join the community and start the community, really, because it's quite small right now, it's just r/polyphonicpress. And you can always help out the show in various ways. You can check out our Patreon and get these episodes the day before that they go live, and leave a rating and a review on Apple Music or Spotify or wherever you're listening. Those are great ways to get in touch with us as well. That's it. I just wanted to say that. And now on to the episode. Thank you.
Press, the podcast where two music fans pick a classic album completely at random. Using the patented random album generator, they are given an album to review from a curated list of over 1,000 classic releases, spanning multiple genres. And now onto the show. Here are your hosts, Jeremy Boyd and John Van Dyke.
Hey, welcome to Polyphonic Press. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
And I'm John Van Dyke.
And let's not waste any time. We've got the patented random album generator right in front of us here. So let's hit the button and see what album we're going to be listening to this week. And the album we're going to be listening to is Primal Scream, Vanishing Point.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I don't think I've ever heard of... I've heard of Primal Scream, I think. But I'm not familiar with them.
I've heard the name.
Okay, so this is what it says on allmusic.com. Okay, so Primal Scream found themselves in danger of losing their hip audience in the wake of their misconceived trad rock record, Give Out But Don't Give Up. As a reaction, they returned to the genre-bending electronic dance rock of the seminal Screamadelica for Give Out's follow-up, Vanishing Point. Instead of recycling the dazzlingly bright neo-psychedelia of Screamadelica, Primal Scream reaches deep into cavernous dub and 60s pop. Vanishing Point is a dark, trippy album filled with mind-bending rhythms and cinematic flourishes. The addition of former Stone Roses bassist Manny to the Scream gives their music an organically funky foundation that had been lacking. Over those rhythms are samples, reverb guitars, and synthesizers that echo spy movies, Southern Soul, and the Stones. Above anything else, Vanishing Point is about sound and groove. Words remain a weak point for Bobby Gillespie, who only manages cohesive lyrics on the swirling burning wheel and star. But that is a secondary concern, since Primal Scream is at its best when working the rhythms. Songs like Kowalski, and in particular, the extended instrumentals of Get Duffy and Trainspotting, illustrate that the group is still capable of creating exotic, thoroughly entrancing sounds, which is what makes Vanishing Point a remarkable comeback.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah.
When was this?
1997.
Okay.
Okay, so yeah, so this album was released on July 7th, 1997. Genres are electronic rock, dub, neo-psychedelia, and krautrock. And label is Creation and Reprise Records, produced by Primal Scream, Brendan Lynch, and Andrew Weatherall. And they're a Scottish band, so.
And they're krautrock?
I guess.
Okay.
So there's no really no side one or side two, but there's 11 songs on the album. So what we'll do is we'll listen to the first five and then listen to the last six songs. And go. And this album starts off with a song called Burning Wheel. So here we go. Here's Burning Wheel from the album A Vanishing Point by Primal Scream. Okay, ending the first half of the album with If They Move, Kill Them. Yeah. I don't know about this. I'm having a bit of a hard time connecting with this music.
Yeah, a little bit too. I mean, there's parts of it I like, and then there's other parts I'm just, it's not doing it for me. I thought Burning Wheel was kind of cool. I mean, it still had that sort of like hip-hop beat going on behind it, but it had more of that like 1960s sort of pop sort of thing going on, and I thought it was kind of cool. Some of it is, I guess, it's a little too industrial for me, maybe. I don't know.
It's too industrial, and I think the description is right in that, you know, to me, like, these aren't really songs in a way. Like, I get that they're instrumentals, but they sound like, it does sound like music you would put in, like, a spy movie or an action movie or something like that, like Mission Impossible or, like, The Bourne Identity or something like that.
Especially from, like, the night, you know, late
90s, early 2000s, era. Yeah. So it doesn't strike me as the type of music you would necessarily put out as an album, but rather to write as incidental music, you know, to a scene in a movie or something like that. So I guess I'm having a hard time connecting to it as music rather than, you know, the song Star, so far as it was really the only song with vocals.
Well, a lot of them have vocals, but some of them are, it's the only one that had like lyrics.
Yes. Lyric. Yeah. That song was all right. And, but the rest of it just, you know, I'm having a hard time feeling it, I guess. And you're right. I think part of it is it's because it's very industrial. It feels very cold.
And don't get me. Sometimes industrial music is, it's a legitimate genre out there, and it's not all bad. It's, you know, I kind of like myself a bit of Depeche Mode from now and then, but, and Nine Inch Nails, of course, were very industrial, but yeah, I don't know. This one's, I don't know. I mean, you kind of have to wait and see what the second side says. And has in store too, but I'm with you too. I'm still sort of on the fence as to whether or not I'm really behind this one.
Yeah, it really just is like that's the thing, is like there really isn't anything wrong with it. Like if I were producing this album, it's like, yeah, it's executed well, it's done really well. There's nothing really, like, there's nothing where I can point as like, oh, the guitar should be this or that. It's like there's none of that. It's just, like, technically there isn't anything wrong with it.
I think it's just a matter of taste, really.
It really is just a matter of taste, yeah. Like, there's nothing really to pull apart or and dissect, and it's, like, it's done well. It's just, I don't know, it's just not really for me.
It sounds so very far 90s to me.
It does.
It just, it's got...
Very much so.
It seems to, like, dated itself to that period. And maybe there's a certain amount of to bias to me, because I was not really up on a lot of stuff from the 90s, during the 90s. And some of it kind of rubbed me the wrong way, especially, like, I don't know, I just wasn't into, like, the whole dance thing. Maybe I was a little too young for it, but I was just, I don't know. I was still listening to a lot of older stuff, and it was just, I don't know.
Yeah, and there are some of those elements here in that. And so, yeah, I am curious to hear the rest of the album, though, you know, just to see, like, because, you know, maybe there are some hidden gems in that. One thing I did read about this album, and I'm curious to hear, is, what's his name? The singer, Bobby Gillespie. There's a cover of a Motorhead song, Motorhead, and he sang it through a Darth Vader mask. So I am curious to hear what that sounds like.
Yeah.
So let's get into the second half of the album. And it's starts off with a song, Out of the Void. So here we go. All right, ending the album with Long Life. I think the second half of the album was a little better, and I think I figured out why I was having such a hard time connecting with the music. And the songs that I actually did enjoy and did like were Star, Medication, and Long Life, and Motorhead was okay too. Those are the songs with lyrics and vocals. And I think the vocal line and the vocal melody is sort of the human element of the song. And even though Long Life still had a lot of electronic noise and a lot of that sort of, I guess, industrial sort of sound, because there was a vocal line, it was easier for me to make a connection with. And I think that's why I was struggling. I think that's why I was struggling is because it was all instrumental. And I don't necessarily mind instrumental if it's musicians playing. But when it's cold industrial music, it's hard for me to grab onto. And I think it's the lack of the human element. It's very robotic.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I thought Stuka was sort of interesting because it reminded me of dub music. What was the other one? Trainspotting was sort of dub-like as well in a lot of places. So it was, you know, I definitely think the second half was a lot easier to get into, but it wasn't necessarily for the same reasons that you did. Maybe it was just because it took a little while for me to sort of get what was going on. I don't know. I find his vocal stylings are kind of hard to get used to. They take some getting used to, just the way he sings.
Yeah, but and on the song Medication, which honestly, I wanted to talk about that because that song kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it was just a rock song.
Yeah, basically. But his vocals remind me of Iggy Pop. And that, it sounds like, oh, okay, this is kind of like the Stooges. And that song really reminded me of the Stooges and that sort of style. And his vocals are very reminiscent of Iggy Pop. So it's like, okay, well, I can kind of make that connection there. But you're right on some of the other songs. His choice in melody is unusual for sure. But yeah, that song Medication. It's weird because it's a good song. It's a good rock song, and in some ways, it's my favorite song on the album. But it's also like it doesn't really fit on the album either. Like it kind of sticks out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, it was just very, well, this is a little bit them doing something completely different. Yeah, it was, I didn't expect it at all.
No, it was, this is a very, I'm very intrigued by this band now because it's sort of like there, maybe it's an acquired taste, I don't know. But it's like, okay, well, I'm having a hard time with this. And I'm still not quite on board. I'm still a little bit on the fence, but they've got me intrigued enough to want to like maybe see what else they've done, because apparently like what the review said in the beginning is like this is sort of an album where they sort of they had an album before where they deviated, and this is sort of like a return to something that they've done before, and sort of, but not quite. So I'm sort of curious. It's like, well, what does their other stuff sound like?
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking the other thing. It's just like this other album that made them almost lose their fans, so called. Well, I mean, I bet they are their fans, but, you know, that's what the review said. This album made them almost lose their fans. What does it sound like?
Yeah. I'm curious about that. So, yeah. So this album, although maybe this album isn't my favorite or my, like I had a hard time getting on board with it. It's like, it's got me intrigued enough and I'm curious enough to, okay, well maybe their other stuff is more down my street or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Yeah. But, you know, the question is, would you listen to this again?
I don't know. I'm not likely to, but it doesn't necessarily mean that I wouldn't. So
I don't think I'm It's not something I'm going to put on. I'm going to say no. I probably wouldn't listen to this again. I probably wouldn't, because it's just, it's a struggle to sort of get through, I think. It's a struggle. There's not enough. Some of the songs are interesting, but there's not enough interesting stuff to make me want to return, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to have to stick with a completely I don't know, because it's just, if it came on again, I wouldn't turn it off necessarily. But it's, yeah, it was very hard to sort of get my head around as well. But I don't know. The second half definitely captured me a little bit more. But
it did, me too. Yeah.
But was it enough to actually want to put the album on again? I don't know. Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, I guess we'll end the episode there. Thank you so much for listening if you made it this far. We want to hear from you, whether you agree or disagree with our review of this album. You can always reach out to us by going to the contact page of our website, polyphonicpress.com. And while you're there, you can check out previous episodes. And if you'd like to support the show, you can do that by going to buymeacoffee.com/polyphonicpress. It's really easy. You don't need to sign up for anything. All of those links are in the show notes. And I think that just about does it. I'm Jeremy Boyd.
I'm John Van Dyke.
Take it easy.